Well, good morning. Welcome to Renovate Church. My name is Rusty. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is great to be here with you this morning. Hey, do me a favor and shake someone's hand before you're seated and just tell them Happy Mother's Day. Go for it.
Mother's Day moment.
You know, Mother's Day is that special day every year where we celebrate the women who brought us into the world.
Honey, it actually took 12 hours with you.
Well, that's right, that's right. My mom was in labor for 12 hours. Thank you, Mom, for reminding me. This is the day that we appreciate all of the hard work and child-rearing years that our mothers...
Honey, sit up and enunciate your sentences.
And apparently, I need to sit up and enunciate my sentences. Thank you, Mother. Since moms are there from the beginning, it's really no coincidence that Mama is typically a child's
first word.
I'm not sure
that shirt's
working. I like this shirt.
Not dressy enough.
It's pretty dressy.
Well, put on what I bought you.
I don't want to wear that.
I gave it to you.
I know you gave it to me. I don't want to wear it. You know, a mother's love is something that every child wants. I know I did, and I still do. That's Douglas.
Well, answer it, pumpkin.
I'm filming. Hello?
Tell him hello.
Oh, Mom says hi. Great. Don't care. Bye. Well, it seems that my mom's favorite son is going to be joining us for lunch.
Now, honey,
what?
Don't be rude.
That's not rude. That's nice.
If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Great. Douglas is here. Douglas?
Daryl. Hey, is this for Mom?
Hey, can't you just go in the other room for 5 minutes? Mother's Day means
honey,
a lot of...
we do not live in a barn.
Oh. But my favorite memory growing up would have to be
when
you
went to bed in 10th grade?
Hold on. Oh, this is over, pal.
Stop it.
No, this
right
is my
now.
Gift
boys,
to Mom,
listen,
man.
Stop.
Well,
stop.
You can sell now,
stop
pal.
It.
So I hope that all you mothers out there have a happy Mother's Day. Love you, Mom.
I love you, too.
Well, what would Mother's Day be if we couldn't poke a little bit of fun at the women who have been so influential in our lives? Because the truth is that moms are probably the greatest gift that God has ever given us. I mean, right behind Jesus and dads, of course, right? But I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I mean, dads, obviously, we know that we could never, ever be as good as moms, be as nurturing and as loving and as caring and as giving as moms are. And so we just want to be able to say just a little bit of a thank you to you for all that you do, all your hard work, all your effort, all your love that you have for us. And so guys, could you just join me in just saying thank you to moms, whether if you're not. Guys, seriously, give it up for moms. Come on. Ladies, we would not be the men and women that we are today if it wasn't for loving motherly figures in our lives. And so we want to thank you. And so when you first came in the door, you should have received a Starbucks gift card. Did each lady in here receive a Starbucks gift card? Yeah? Right? You look at that. They're like, yes. You can get your fix later on. It's good. You are definitely not going to want to lose that, okay? Because there's actually $50 on that card. No, there's $5. I just wanted to see your face. So there's $5 on that card. But we just wanted to say thank you. Just a little bit of a thank you for how much you guys have really done for us. So we hope that you have a very, very special, special day. And guys, can we just pack together that for the women in our lives that are mothers, can we just pack that they are going to be pampered all day and that they don't need to do anything, right? Guys, can I get a nod on that? They don't need to do it. They take care of us 364 days out of the year. We can do it one day, right? Right? All right, right on. Guys, thank you very much. We hope that you have a very, very special, special day. But for right now, can you take out that connection card out of your program for us? If you're a regular attender here, you know what to do. Just simply put your name and email address on the front. And if you have a prayer request, please write that on the back. We would love to be able to pray for you. And if you're a guest with us this morning, welcome. Welcome. You have picked a great day to be here at Renovate Church, and we are so thrilled that you're here. And so I'm going to ask you to fill out as much information as you feel comfortable sharing. And then on the bottom there, if you wouldn't mind kind of just circling how you heard about us, that would really help us out. At the end of service, there'll be some paint cans that pass by. Go ahead and just drop those in there, and we will get those. But in just a second, we're going to be kicking off a brand new sermon series called True-ish, and we're really excited about that. But before we do that, check out this video clip.
You can also do a laughing yoga, laughing exercise for the heart and mind. What you can do, just laugh. Very easy. Don't feel shy. And I am happy, I am relaxed. I am happy, I am relaxed. I am happy, I am relaxed.
Pastor Josh will actually be doing a laughing yoga class starting Thursday if you'd like to sign up for that. But we're going to be starting a brand new sermon series called True-ish this morning. And so to get us started, I wanted to start out with a little game of true or false. Okay, can we play a little game of true or false? And so I'm going to ask us, make a statement, and I'm going to ask you guys to raise your hand if it's true or if it's false. All right? And here's the deal. If you don't vote, then you're just a big wuss, okay? I just want to make sure you know that right up front. But so here we go. Here's the first statement. First statement is this. The Bible is the most shoplifted book in the world. The Bible is the most shoplifted book in the world. How many of you guys say true? How many of you guys say false? The Bible is actually the most shoplifted book in the world. Is that not crazy? That is insane. Here's the second one. Here's the second statement. A kiss that lasts 1 minute burns 100 calories. Kiss that lasts one minute burns 100 calories. How many of you guys say, glory to God, that's true? How many of you guys say false? The answer is false. It's actually what happens after the 1 minute kiss that burns all the calories. And here's the last one. The third one is this, is that a cat has 32 muscles in each ear. Cat has 32 muscles in each ear. How many of you guys say true? How many of you guys say false? Answer is, nobody cares. Because cats are of the devil. Okay? We all know that.
True.
Thank you. And so why is this series important? Why is this series going to be so important for us? Here's why. Because our beliefs determine our behavior. Our beliefs determine our behavior. I mean, if you want to know exactly what it is that you believe, just look at what you do, and you will know exactly what it is that you believe. Because the reality is that what we believe to be true determines how we behave relationally. What we believe to be true determines how we behave financially. What we believe to be true determines how we behave morally, and ultimately what we believe to be true determines how we live spiritually. It determines exactly that. True-ish, sounds good, looks true, feels true, but is actually off true. It's off true because it can take us a little bit off of what's true and right and good, and you'll end up in a place that you don't want to be. And so the idea of today's message, today's talk, is just believe. Can sound good, but it begs the question, believe what? I mean, just believe, right? You gotta just believe. You just gotta keep the faith. I mean, good feelings are coming your way, right? Whatever in the heck that means, you know? Just believe. Believe what? See, the reality is that each of us have had beliefs and thoughts and ideas that were just not true. And if we're not careful, they can trip us up, they can hold us back, or sometimes they can even be destructive. Now, certainly, we also have beliefs and thoughts and ideas that are true and that lead us into deeper truth. But some of the things that we believe, some of the things that we believed in the past have actually turned out to be lies. They turned out to be true-ish. And they can distort reality. Right? If you guys ever experienced, they can distort reality. So here's the deal. I mean, have you ever been to a point in your life where maybe you've had some really tough decisions to make? Really tough decisions to make. Or maybe you've gotten to a point of your life where there's been some really difficult circumstances and you kind of feel like you're in a fog. You know, where you can't really see all that clearly. Frank Cook, he's a writer for the U.S. Naval Institute, and he recalls a time where he was assigned to a battleship. He was assigned to a battleship that was doing maneuvers out at sea, and it was in some really, really heavy weather. And so one night he was out on the bridge, and he was on watch, and some really heavy fog started to roll in. Intense, heavy fog. And so, you know, just after it got dark, the lookout on the wing reported light bearing on the starboard bow. Now my father, who is a military man, would be absolutely disgusted with the fact that I have no idea what that means, okay? I really have no idea what that means, but thank goodness that they do. And so the captain yelled out, "Is it steady or moving astern?" And so the lookout yelled back and said, "It's steady, Captain." Now, I don't know why I just actually got into Star Trek Scotty voice there, but I did. But apparently, that meant that they were on a very dangerous collision course with this other ship. Right? And so the captain yells out, "Tell the other captain, signal him that we are on a dangerous collision course with you. Change course 20 degrees. And so the signal comes back and it says, here's the deal, guys. Advisable that you change course 20 degrees. And so the captain is kind of taken aback and he says, "I'm a captain. Change course 20 degrees. Response comes back, "I'm a seaman second class. You change course 20 degrees. And so by this time, the captain is seriously upset and he's absolutely furious. And he says, "Send this. And I'm a battleship. Change course 20 degrees. Response comes back, "That's great. I'm a lighthouse. You are definitely going to want to change course 20 degrees. Some of you might get it later. But see, sometimes it can feel like we're in a fog. Like we're not really able to see what's ahead of us. And so our hope is that in this series, we are going to try to clear some air. Because oftentimes we can find ourselves in a place where we don't want to be, especially when it comes to this topic of spirituality and this just believe thought process. We can find ourselves in places we don't want to be. But unfortunately, the reality is that most of us are trying to get to truth. Most of us are trying to figure out what truth is by the vehicle of more religion. We're trying to get to it by more religion. And maybe some of us are seeking truth. Maybe some of us have even found it. But here's what happens. What happens is that over time, it's given way to feelings of guilt about our relationship with God. And so we try harder. We try to do things better. We try to do, you know, good God stuff. But eventually, we tire out and we wear out and we wear ourselves out and we think, man, this is so hard. That this Christian life is just so hard and we don't know what to do and we just quit and we throw in the towel. You know, I've spoken to so many people over the years. So many people that have said, "I want to follow God. I want to do that. I want to do what He wants. I want to do good God stuff, but I just can't. It's hard for me. And I feel guilty because I just keep failing." And you know, if you're here this morning and that's your thought process, here's my hope. My hope is to destroy that thought process so that we can learn to live in a healthier place. See, a relationship with God is not about practicing more religion, but it's about more Jesus. That's what a relationship with God is all about. And unfortunately, we're often tempted to kind of kick back into this religious way of looking at spirituality. But the truth is that's a gimmick. It's a poor substitute. It's true-ish, where it can have some elements of truth, some elements of good and right. But often when we try to go down this path of doing right, it can actually take us away from a relationship with God, with a God who loves us so very much. Religion can absolutely do that. And so this entire series is going to be about breaking the cycle of more religion. And so my hope is that over the next few weeks that we can begin to take away this thought process, this twisted thinking that can ultimately paralyze our faith. That's my desire. And so let's start this out. There's a story in the Bible, and it's found in John chapter 8. It's found in John chapter 8, and basically what's going on here is that Jesus is having an interaction with the Pharisees. He's in the temple in Jerusalem, and the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day, and they had a problem with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus had compassion on people that were caught in this cycle of more religion. People who had ended up quitting and kind of throwing in the towel because they just couldn't do it, and they figured that out, and they were like, man, I just can't do this. And because of that, they felt so judged. And they didn't know how to move on from there. See, Jesus chose disciples that were prostitutes. He chose disciples that were partiers, that were corporate, corrupt CEOs, you know, that were kind of heading up the local tax collectors guild or whatever it was. And the Pharisees didn't like it. But lives were being changed. Lives were being transformed. And it was threatening to the Pharisees. Let's read what happens in John chapter 8. John 8, 12 through 16, it says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Underline that, the light that leads to life. The Pharisees replied, you are making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. Jesus told them, these claims are valid even though I make them about myself, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know this about me. You judge me by human standards. But I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect because I am not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. And so here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that only God can ultimately judge accurately. Why? Because only God has the perspective and truly sees reality. He is truly the only one that sees what is right and good. And see, I can believe anything that I want to believe, right? We can do that. But really, the only thing that we should be concerned with is what does God believe? What does God believe? Because guess what? That's what's true. What God believes is true. And so I need to learn how to line up my beliefs and my thoughts and my actions. It's what God believes and God's thoughts and what he does. Because ultimately, he sees accurately. I don't. And without this clarity that Jesus promises here, it can almost feel like we're walking in the dark, right? How many guys have ever gotten up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? I mean, every single one of us, right? Yeah, we all have. Everybody could probably raise their hand. I mean, so you walk around. I mean, maybe some of you are as blind as I am. You know, I take off my glasses. I really just can't see anything. And so you're kind of stumbling around, you know, and you're tripping over stuff that's been left on the floor. Or in my case, Legos that have been purposely put there just to get daddy, right? How many of you guys can relate to that? Absolutely. Yes. And so you continue on to the bathroom and you kind of, you know, turn the corner. And then someone that's going to be left nameless, because this is completely hypothetical, okay? Completely. Has left the dresser drawer open just at the right height. Kind of hurts. Really. And so then maybe you get past that obstacle, even though you're blind, and you finally get to the bathroom and you're standing there and maybe you miss, you know? Because it's dark, whatever. Or, you know, you get to the bathroom and he forgot to put the toilet seat down again, right? Yeah. Completely hypothetical. None of us have ever had to deal with that before. But see, that's what happens when you're walking around in the dark. You're bumping into things. You can't see clearly. And you know what Jesus says that I am the light that leads to life. And he's talking about this clarity that God wants to bring into our life, that he wants to make our lives clear. And see, the Pharisees thought that they were walking in the light. They thought that they were, but they were absolutely walking in darkness. They were deceived. And here's the problem. The problem is that all of us can be deceived. All of us can be deceived. I can be deceived. We can think that we know what we're talking about. We can think that we know and are seeing clearly. But see, what many of us do is this. What many of us do is that we begin to make up our own truth. We've determined that we are the ultimate authority in truth, and it's called subjective thinking. That's what we determine. And we don't necessarily look to any other type of truth to illuminate truth in our life. That we are the ultimate truth. And Jesus says that you need the light that leads to life, or you're going to end up in a place that you don't want to be. You're going to end up in darkness, and you're going to end up deceived. And see, we all have had thoughts that were not in line with reality. Reality is how God sees it. And sometimes it can lead us astray. And so here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do. I want to look at four elements, four things that we can look at of how to live in truth, four perspectives. And now these aren't four linear steps, okay? This isn't, you know, something that you can just do in line. It doesn't work that way, all right? What I want to do is kind of look at something like, you know, peeling back the layers of an onion. I want to look at that and then being willing to ask God, will you come into these layers? Will you look into my life? Will you be a part of these different areas of my life? And will we be humble enough to do that? Maybe even ask God to meet us there. Ask God to open up our eyes and our hearts. Will you be willing to potentially let God look into the layers of your life, even if you may not like it? Even if you may not even agree with it all, I want to ask you to simply consider it for the next 20 minutes, whatever God might be wanting to say to you. Consider it. Here's the first one. If we're willing to walk in truth, here's what we have to do. Number one, I have to seek the truth. I have to seek the truth. We have to admit that we don't necessarily have everything figured out, that we kind of need God to kind of shine some light into this, and that my thoughts may actually be wrong. That we might actually have a distorted view of reality. When I was first starting out in ministry, there was a young lady that was a part of the college group or whatever that I was leading up there. And she had been going through some really, really tough issues in her life. Really big stuff. And the way that she reacted to it, the way that she responded to it, was to become anorexic. She became anorexic. And so one day, you know, it had gotten so bad that I took her aside and I just tried to encourage her. I just tried to say, you know what, you are so beautiful. You're so talented. This is how much God loves you. You have no idea your potential. But all she could see when she looked in that mirror, the only thing she could see was an ugly, fat girl. That's all she saw. And she wasn't open to any other perspective out there. And that she would constantly demean herself and tell herself just how repulsive she was and how ugly and fat and all of this stuff. And guys, here's the deal. At this point, at that very point, she may have been 100 pounds. May have been. See, she wasn't open to any other perspective than her own. She had a distorted view of reality, and it led her to be deceived. And you know, the same thing can happen to entire groups of people as well. It's not limited to just individuals. 1973, you guys might remember, in America, we were going through extreme shortages, right? There was hyperinflation. Gas lines were really long. There was a lot of gas shortages out there. I actually had to read it in a history book because I wasn't alive in 1973. But for those of you who remember, that's awesome. But in 1973, Johnny Carson gets up one day. He gets up and he says, he talks about how there's this extreme shortage of toilet paper. That all the toilet paper had run out. He was joking. He was absolutely joking. And yet the very next day, 20 million Americans went out and bought all of the toilet paper. They bought it all. There's a run on toilet paper. I mean, there was just, there were fights in grocery stores. There were brawling over 2-ply and 4-ply. I don't know what the deal was. But in one 24-hour period, we were wiped out of toilet paper. We were sold out of TP. I like what this one guy had to say. I'm not really sure who said it, so perhaps it was my own thought. But he said, never underestimate the power of stupid people in groups. Never underestimate the power of stupid people in groups. You see, no one ever really does things that is destructive or immoral until their thoughts first lead them there. It begins in our minds. And most people don't think that their thoughts might be wrong or evil, but just look back in history, right? And you can see a whole lot of stuff that's been going on that are evil, that consists of wrong thinking. Nazis exterminating entire people groups. That's evil. Americans enslaving Africans. That's evil. Or in more recent history, the Hutus and the Tutsis killing each other in the genocide in Rwanda. That's evil. Or even in our own soil. You guys can probably recall recent events of corrupt CEOs that have gotten so corrupt that they have no problem gouging their own countrymen. It's immoral. But the truth is that aren't we all susceptible to it? Aren't we all kind of vulnerable to being deceived? Or are we all so righteous? I don't think so. I think we're all vulnerable to this. We're all vulnerable to true-ish thinking. Matter of fact, do me a favor. Turn to the person next to you and just tell them, I'm pretty sure this talk is for you. Go ahead. Turn to them. Pretty sure it's for you. Pretty sure. The Bible is filled with examples of this exact thing. But I don't think anyone takes the cake as much as the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter. I mean, Peter was just a zealous guy for Jesus, right? I mean, he was just an absolutely zealous guy for Jesus. But he also found himself very, very vulnerable to being deceived. Extremely vulnerable. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked one day, who do you say that I am? Right? He asked, who do you say that I am? And without hesitation, Peter stands up and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the risen God. And I can just imagine, you know, Jesus going up to Peter and grabbing him by the shoulder and saying, finally, Peter, you finally said something bright, you know, way to go. But that's not what he said. He said this. He said, you know what? I don't think that thought was actually your own. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And essentially what he was saying, Peter, you are thinking God thoughts. You are thinking the thoughts of God himself. Way to go. And so Jesus continues on in Matthew 16 and continues on to describe, you know, what's going to happen in the future. Right? And he says, here's what we're going to do, guys. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to get arrested. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. And I'm going to be buried. And then I'm going to rise again in 3 days. And right off the heels of you are thinking God thoughts, the Bible says in Matthew 16 that Peter rebukes Jesus. I mean, how dumb is that? Really, how dumb is that? Because what he just said was, I know that you are God. Let me teach you. That's just dumb. That is really just absolutely dumb. He said, no, we're not going to do it. That's not going to happen. And so Jesus responds this way. He says, Peter, get behind me, Satan. He says to get behind me, Satan, because you don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what it is that you're saying. You're just hurting yourself, you know. You're just putting your foot in your mouth. I mean, how do you go from way to go to shut up? Or shutteth upeth in the King James Version, if you'd like. I mean, if you're a husband in this place, then you probably know how quickly those two things can happen, right? Honestly, you probably can. Because here's the deal, you can be sitting there and things can be going so great. And then you got this thought that just pops in your mind, men. And you think that it's going to be so funny. And so you say it completely hypothetical. Totally, totally hypothetical. But you say, and only to realize later that you probably shouldn't have said it, right? Because you're looking at her when you're driving home and you're like, hey, baby, what's wrong? And she's like, nothing. And you know that she's a liar and that Satan is the father of lies, but nevertheless, you stepped in it and you know it. And we can all do this. We're all vulnerable to this wrong thinking, and we can all be deceived. We are not so righteous that we can't. We can all be deceived. Here's the second one. If I want to walk in truth, here's what I need to do. I have to humble myself. I have to humble myself. See, sometimes we need to humble ourselves and consider that maybe the choices that we've made in our life, the decisions that we've made, these beliefs that we have might be a little true-ish and not necessarily the truth. See, Peter was absolutely convinced that he had the thoughts of God. And so he rebukes Jesus, and yet he was completely wrong. Because he didn't know that God had a plan to usher in freedom through extreme sacrificial love. He didn't realize that at all. But see, the Bible says this. It says, if you seek truth, you will find it. But the question is, what if I don't like the truth that I find? What if I don't like that? What if you're like, yes, I want to follow God. I want to do that. I want to be all in. You know, I want to do this. And you find the truth and you're like, what? That means I have to do that. That means I have to give up this. Well, I don't like that very much. And so typically what we do is we come up with an alternate truth that we then ask God to cooperate with. And it's called building our own religion. And that's all that religion is that it's built. It's my attempt to figure this whole thing out so that I can live the life that I prefer, rather than the life that he has planned. And see, I invite self-deception when I'm the final authority on truth. When I'm that final authority, and we've got to humble ourselves and look to get some course correction. And that's really why it's so important to be a part of a healthy church, where as its final authority is the Word of God. Because my opinions are awesome, okay? Just want to let you know that. They're awesome. But we thank God that this church is not run on my opinions. Because, by the way, my opinion is that every male should have a Harley. And I think that that is a very godly opinion, okay? And my wife needs to talk to Jesus about that. But I digress. And so let's continue on with Jesus' conversation with the Pharisees in John chapter 8. Here it goes. It says, Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in him and said, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. Maybe you've heard that in a different translation where it says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, we all need to guard our thoughts, because that's where our beliefs come from. And you want to know how to guard your thoughts? You guard your thoughts by knowing the truth. Knowing the truth and then being humble enough to say yes to whatever that truth is. If it's challenging, if it's difficult, if it's hard, it doesn't matter. We say yes to the truth. See, it's widely known that federal agents are trained to spot counterfeit bills, like $100 bills, not by knowing all of the thousands of different ways that these bills can be counterfeited, but by knowing the real one so well that they can easily spot the deception of the truth. They can easily spot this, and that's exactly what we need to do. We need to know the truth so well and be willing to humble ourselves to it. Humble ourselves to that. If we're open to genuine life change, here's number three. If we're open to it, here's number three. We have to live the truth. We have to live the truth. This is where I make room for God's word to interpret me. You know, so often we talk about how challenging it is to interpret the Bible properly, right? We talk about, but the problem is, the real challenge is, will I allow the Bible to interpret me? Will I allow the Word of God to discern the way that I'm living? The the actions that I'm making, the choices that I'm making, the thoughts that I'm thinking, is the Word of God the ultimate authority in my life? Hebrews 4:12 says this, is for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Psalms 10:4 says, in his pride the wicked does not seek him. In his thoughts there is no room for God. And see, the Bible is saying that we are living the truth when we are making room for God in our thoughts. When we're making room for God in our life daily, when we're getting to know Him, when we're getting closer to Him, when we're beginning to recognize His thoughts in our own. That's how we're getting to know the truth and getting closer to God. But what is it that hinders us from doing this? What hinders us from this? And ultimately, I can tell you what it is. It's fear. Fear hinders us from knowing the truth. I think we can find the answer here. In John chapter 8, we continue on. It says, then they, the Pharisees, asked him, where is your father? You do not know me or my father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my father also. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. Guys, the reason we don't let God into our thoughts is fear, and that's exactly what the Pharisees were dealing with as well. Because ultimately, if they bought into this Jesus thing, they just ruined their income. If they bought into this Jesus thing, then they just gave up their power positions in life, in their culture. There's just fear that was driving. Everything was on the line for them. And so we think, oh my gosh, they were such fools. And yet the truth is that I am no different. And that you are no different. And oftentimes, we can be driven by our fears. Because deep down, the question is always this. What, if I follow Jesus, what is this going to cost me? What's it going to cost? And we're driven by our fears. We're so afraid that He's going to send us someplace that we don't want to go. Or we're so afraid that He's going to make us marry somebody that we don't want to marry. You know, we're so afraid of this whole giving thing because we think that maybe He's going to say, you know, I want you to sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, because He said it like, you know, once in the entire Bible, right? And so we think that He's cheap and that He's stingy, and we're afraid that He's going to take away everything that we think is going to make us happy and secure. We think that He's going to take away everything that we really love in life. Afraid that He's going to do all of these things. He's going to put us in a place that we don't want to be. And it's the same reason that the Pharisees held Him at arm's length. We are no different at all. And see, if that is your image of God, if that's how you see God, that He's not to be trusted, that He's cruel and He's harsh and He's going to make you do stuff that you don't want to do, fire that God and get a new one. Because that is not the God that Jesus revealed. That is not the God at all that Jesus revealed. You have a counterfeit. You have a cheap facsimile. You have a made up God, a distorted image of God. Because just what Jesus just said on the screen, it says, you don't know the Father and you don't know me, or you even wouldn't be asking me these questions. You wouldn't be acting the way that you're acting. You would love me. See, if we feel like we can't trust God, then He's a false God. Because if we can't trust God, then we won't let Him into our thoughts. And if we don't let Him into our thoughts, then we're never going to grow spiritually. We will never grow spiritually. And eventually you're going to get on this cycle of guilt where you're going to be trying harder and you're going to be wearing yourself out and you're going to throw in the towel. And you're going to sit there and you're going to think, this is all just boring and I don't even get the point. You know, because this Christianity thing is just so hard, and you quit it when in fact you never even bumped into it yet. Because what you did was you traded the truth for more religion, not more Jesus. See, guys, religion's a bummer. We can't give our lives to religion. It is not at all what God intended it for us to be. Jesus did not die on a cross for religion. He died on a cross for a relationship with you and I. That's what He wants to give us. And so maybe this morning, you know, you're sitting here and you're saying, you know what, life has kind of let me down. And you know, maybe you said in your heart that you will never trust again, that you don't want to trust again, that it's just been too painful. And I certainly do not know everything that's gone in your life. Please don't think that I do. But I'd like to ask you, I'd like to encourage you that maybe today is a day to trust again. Maybe it's a day to open your heart back up to what God might be speaking to you right now. Leads us to number four. I follow the truth. I follow the truth, and that's all wrapped up in the person of Jesus. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And see, I want to encourage you to seek the truth and then be willing to humble yourself to it. Regardless of how difficult it may be, regardless of how many hard steps it's going to take you to do that, I want to encourage you to make room for a God who loves you so very much. And then follow the truth, which isn't a philosophy. It's not a religious set of rules. But it's a person. It's a person of Jesus. Look at this last verse. This last verse is actually our memory verse for this entire series. But here's what I want to ask you. I want to ask you, one, that you'll commit to keep coming back for this series, because I believe that God is going to do great things in this. That He's going to set us free. But I also want to ask that this last verse be our prayer. That you will pray this verse throughout this series. That this will actually be our prayer as a congregation. That we can pray this together. And in fact, here's what I want to do. I want to go ahead and close by praying this verse. Will you guys pray with me? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. God, we thank You this morning that Your word stands true. God, that it is not at all true-ish. Father, that we can follow exactly what it is that you tell us to do. And it's not going to just be cheapening our lives. But God, that You promised that You would give us an abundant life. How much easier of a life it is when we put our trust in the God who has created everything. And so, Jesus, I pray for every person here today. God, that you will help them to come to a conclusion of putting their complete trust in You, whether they're still kicking the tires of Christianity, trying to figure that out, or whether they've been a Christian for 20 years, God. That there's an area, Lord, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that there's an area that You will put into our minds right now that we will understand that we need to follow after You in that. Father God, we love You this morning and we thank You for the truth that You give to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, guys, here's the deal. I want to ask you to do one more thing. I want to pray for you this week. We have a team of people that want to pray for you this week. And so maybe throughout this message that God was speaking to you. I don't know. I think He was. And so I want to ask that you'll go ahead and put on your connection card maybe if something that you're dealing with, that you want prayer for, that you want to follow after God, that you're going to set it in front of God and say, God, I want You to take this from me. I want to trust You in it. I want to follow You after it. We want to pray for you. And we want to encourage you in that. And so I'm going to ask you to go ahead and just write that on your connection card if you'd like, so that we can do that. At the end of service, in just a minute, the pink cans are going to pass by. Please just go ahead and drop those in there and we'll be able to get that. But guys, we are so glad that you are here today. We are so glad that you are here. So thank you so very much for spending some of your Mother's Day with us. We really, really appreciate that. And we hope that you have a very, very special, special day.